Hello and good afternoon. We thank you for tuning in this afternoon to the radio program. And as I was looking at different subjects out of the Bible with you, there's one today where I want to compare two passages in the Scripture, just two. And these are kind of lengthy, and one goes right along with the other, and they're in very dissimilar parts of the Bible, but they just meld together so perfectly, and it shows once again that the Bible is its best commentary. And if you wonder what one passage of the Bible is talking about, you just go to another and you see it perfectly illustrated. The first passage is in the book of 1 John. In 1 John in chapter 2, we find that we are not to love the world in verse 15. 1 John 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Now you might wonder, in reading that passage, how is it that people are tempted in each one of these ways? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And if these are not of the Father, but of the world, then I'm interested in them. I want to avoid that at all costs. Well, that's a good attitude to have, and you want to learn how to avoid the ways of temptation. There's no better example than that of Jesus Christ. So, turn to Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, we see a passage here where Jesus is tempted of the devil, and he is tempted in each one of these ways. You can pretty much put every sin that you could possibly think of in one of those three categories: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. And the ways in which Jesus is tempted here in Matthew 4, he was tempted in each one of these categories, so that we see how you reject the devil when it comes to each one of them, and we see how that Jesus personally threw off the every avenue of temptation, and that's why the devil left him for a little while. So let's begin here in reading in Matthew 4. Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The Bible says that when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. You know, this is the devil's way, isn't it? He gets us at a weak moment, and he was trying to get Jesus at his weakest time. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." The devil will often mix one kind of temptation with another. The very fact that he used the words "if," when he said, "If you are the Son of God," that shows that he was using the pride of life in a manner of speaking right from the get-go. He's trying to challenge what Jesus knows about himself, and the devil will do that to you as well. The temptation doesn't have to come in the form of the exact words from the devil. He doesn't have to tempt us just exactly that way, like he did Jesus here. But the devil does tempt us with messages, if you will, in the sense of the things we see, what people tell us that are serving the devil, even if they don't realize it out there, and they are a challenge to our pride. Why, you know, how dare you doubt me? Or I can do this if I want to, that kind of attitude. And when the devil said, "If you're the Son of God," well, Jesus knows he's the Son of God. He doesn't need the devil to tell him that. But for the devil to call it into question would tempt someone to do something just to prove it and just to show him. Well, Jesus isn't going to be caught like that. The specific temptation here, though, is not for the pride of life, but is for something else. The devil says, "If you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." He is appealing to Jesus' flesh. Jesus is so hungry at this point. He had fasted for 40 days. How hungry would you be? They say some people, like Gandhi and those, fasted for extended periods of time. But Jesus is really going to need every bit of strength that is available in order to overcome a temptation like this. He has to be extremely hungry. And so the devil says, "You command that these stones become bread." It's not that Jesus could not do it, but he knew that since the devil was trying to tempt him to do it, that therefore it would take him down a road that he doesn't want to go. And he's not going to fall prey to just whatever the devil wants him to do. He's going to resist him. Therefore, he goes back to that old defender and the help that we always receive as Christians, God's Word. So he goes back in the words of God, and he says, "It is written," verse 4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." There you go. That's how we win over temptation. When the lust of the flesh comes and the devil tempts you to fulfill some sort of lust in your flesh, then you go back to the Word of God and you say, you know, God wants us to lead a spiritual life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So I want to go back to what is spiritually needful and not needful for the flesh. So the devil thinks, well, I'm going to try a different tactic then. The devil took him up, in verse 5, it says in Matthew 4, into the holy city, and he set him on the pinnacle of the temple. So he takes him to Jerusalem, takes him up to the top of the temple, and he said to him, if you're the Son of God. You see, he never really gives up on attacking us with every form of temptation he can. But he says, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Well, what kind of temptation would this be? Let's see, we've got the lust of the flesh. We've already dealt with that. And we've got the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Pride of life. He's going to bear you up. Well, you won't die. The Lord's going to take care of you. God will take care of you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Why, the Bible itself says it. If Jesus can use the Bible, the devil points out, well, I can use the Bible too, but he uses it in the wrong way. Because God was never telling Jesus in the Old Testament that you're supposed to go around doubting me and testing me out. And of course, Jesus knew this. So when the devil says, if you're the Son of God, and when the devil says, well, you know, are the angels going to take care of you or not? And when he tries to get Jesus to test out God's prophecy about him, then Jesus knows that's not the way I'm supposed to be. I'm not supposed to be lifted up in the pride of life. So Jesus responds to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. This is what I think about when I see some people today that will act as if, well, the Lord's going to take care of me, and then they go playing around with snakes and drinking poison and such as that. Well, you know, why would you want to deliberately go out and do something like that? It's a misapplication of Scripture, you see. It's falling prey to what the devil would like us to do. Instead, just because the Bible says that the Lord would take care of his Son doesn't mean that Jesus should doubt the Father and should test out the Scripture to see if God's going to do what God said he would do. No, no, no. Instead, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. The pride of life won't work, devil. And so Jesus rejects that as well. Verse 8 of Matthew 4. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He said to him, all these things I will give you if you'll fall down and worship me. Fall down and worship me. Well, it's one thing to recognize that this is from the devil, that it's his temptation. It's another thing to fight it off, though, isn't it? Jesus knew that the devil was throwing the last bit at him. He showed him these things. He showed him all the kingdoms and their glory. All these things I'll give you if you'll fall down and you worship me. It didn't matter how many kingdoms Jesus saw. It didn't matter what kind of influence or power on earth that the devil possessed. Jesus knew, my eyes shall not deceive my soul. Therefore he said, away with you, Satan. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. What has the devil put before your eyes? In the lust of the eyes, have you fallen to some temptation? Then be more like Jesus. Resist the devil at every turn. And it doesn't matter what avenue of temptation he takes when he comes at you. The Bible said that he was going to use every one of these ways. 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 15. But since you know beforehand, and you know now that he's coming at you in those ways, be like Jesus, follow in his footsteps, and say, away with you, Satan, and overcome every one of those temptations. Well, I hope that you have learned something and that we all can be strengthened in the faith from comparing these two scriptures today. I thank you for listening again, and from the Mount Gilead Church of Christ, we want you to tune in each weekday that you can to this radio broadcast after the news and farm reports. Thank you. I'm Tim McHenry.